Hey guys, welcome to Remarried Love, the best new relationship podcast for everyday men and women who desire to be married again.
If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. This podcast is devoted to being a safe space for you to heal from divorce and to grow towards a brighter future. Whether you are recently singled or already remarried, this podcast has something for you.
We are your hosts, Dee
and Aki,
and we are going to have candid, heartfelt conversations about the journey to a healthy remarriage.
We're so glad you're here.
As always, we'll give you some nuggets of wisdom. So take a deep breath. Now let's get into it. So, babe, I don't think we finished telling the story about how we actually met. Do you want to tell your version of events?
Yeah. My first marriage lasted almost a decade, and there were a lot of things that happened within the marriage, and then it ended abruptly. And for me, it was like my whole world was shattered. When you have things like betrayal or deception, and you have a lot of elements that go on sometimes in the reason why you get a divorce, it seemed like it like reopened a wound.
Yeah.
So now I was a child that went through a divorce, and now I'm an adult that went through a divorce.
Right.
It was different. So then I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to heal. I wrote a book about that healing process or what I needed to do. And then it took a long time to write it. Because when people heard about my divorce, they were like, Aki, you need to write a book about, this is like a lifetime movie and it's this and that. And I talked to God about it and he was like, yeah, we don't want to rehash that. I want you to let people know or share with people how you got out of that situation, not out of the marriage, but out of the brokenness.
Yeah. The hurt and the pain.
Yes. When I met you, it was at a time that I just said, God, I'm not going to like go on dates and get hooked up and try to go on any apps or anything. I guess.
Leave it up to him.
Yeah. I'm just going to work.
Yeah.
And, God, you just show me somebody or have somebody find me. And then I went to church and you found me.
I did. But that wasn't until after I went to the club.
Yeah. I think we left off that we met at church, actually. But okay, I'll start. So it was one Sunday. I was a little late and I was going into the church with my dad.
Wait, I got to stop you right there. You said a little late.
Already?
Yeah.
Your take is what?
You were a lot late.
Okay. So I was with my dad that day, and because, you know, I was living with him after I got my divorce. Mm-hmm. And we came in and the church was packed that Sunday. It was in the summertime. And so they sat us apart.
They had to move me over.
They were trying to sit us down.
Yeah, but I had to move before you could sit down.
Yeah, I was going to say the usher, you're right. The usher was trying to find a spot for me. She found a spot for my dad.
Yeah.
Then she saw your row and there was two gentlemen. She was asking you guys if you could split up and I could sit in between you.
Yeah. There was one empty seat. I moved to the left. That so empty spot, I moved over to the left because...
To give me the empty spot.
She gave you the empty spot. The spot in front of you was where your dad sat.
He wasn't right in front of me, honey.
He was right there.
No, he was a couple rows.
No.
Okay, so there's a discrepancy in that.
Because he turned around.
I would have seen him.
I'm telling you.
And smelled his cologne. He was not right in front of me, believe me.
So he was wearing dad cologne.
Yeah, that's why my seat was warm.
Yeah, because I was sitting there.
Okay, so church has begun, and for some reason, the sound system goes out.
Yeah, no sound, no microphones.
Nothing. And it just kind of goes quiet. Mm-hmm. So the pastor says, okay, well, we're not going to stop praising and worshiping and doing our thing. So he said, I want you to turn to your neighbor and go in groups of two or three. You can hold hands if you want.
Babe, he said, don't touch your neighbor.
He said, don't touch your neighbor?
Yeah.
I thought he said it was optional.
No. He said, don't
okay,
touch.
Okay, well, I said, I...
He said, you don't have to touch anybody.
Yeah, this is what I heard, that you go to your neighbor, we're going to pray in groups, and if you're not comfortable with holding hands or touching, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So it just so happened that I turned to my left and you were there.
Yeah.
Because if I turned to my right, I just turned to my left. And since you were at the end of the like aisle or whatever, there wasn't really anyone else to put a group with, because I think the other guy turned the other way. So here we are. Was there something else?
I'll tell my story.
Go ahead.
So the reason why you turned to your left was because we developed a little bond. Prior to the power going out and everything, You were trying to put a piece of candy in your mouth. And that candy had that wrapper that makes all that noise. I'm sure people know that one candy that makes all that noise. And so when you were doing that, I kind of looked at you and you looked at me.
You were scolding me?
I was eye scolding you like, can you please stop making all that noise? Because you wouldn't stop with that. But it was like, you know, banter. It was like little fun. It was just like
mischievous things that you do in church.
Yeah, I guess so.
You open candy wrappers loud.
Yeah, and to bother your neighbors.
I was bothering you?
No, it wasn't bothering me. So I looked over at you like, kind of like, you know, hey.
Your girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop.
So that's how we had that little eye connection.
Oh, so, I missed that.
Hey, that's why you, when you stood up, you turned my way. It wasn't that the guy turned the other way.
Okay. Okay with the candy swag.
Yeah.
You said I touched your elbow.
You did.
Yeah.
It was my right elbow.
Okay. So I'm touching. Gosh, you're specific. You remember this.
Babe, this is the day I met the woman who would be my wife. Yeah. I didn't know it at the time, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. So I touched your elbow and I asked you, what did you need prayer? And then you told me, because we were supposed to pray for each other.
Yes.
And I prayed for you. Such a sweet, nice prayer. Mm-hmm. And then you said, what would you like prayer for? And I said, oh, well, I'm recently divorced and I want to pray that bitterness doesn't like hold me or make root inside of me. I don't want to be bitter. And you just looked at me and you said, I understand.
Yeah.
And I was like, you do? This is in my mind. I don't think I said that out loud. I just was like,
you didn't.
And you just like grabbed my hand and you got to praying for real. I mean, I was praying for you for real, but It was like very, I don't know you. So I just wanted to pray over you. Generally, good blessings and stuff.
Generally.
You started praying for me and something happened. And I was really embarrassed because you started praying and I fell down. Like I fell down.
Well, you fell to your knees.
I fell to my knees.
You didn't fall down like you fell backwards or
I fell, yeah, passed, like I fell
to
my knees.
You didn't pass out or something. You just dropped to your knees.
And I started crying.
Yes.
A lot.
Profusely.
It felt like I was
uprooting the bitterness.
Yes. I didn't even know it was in there. Mm-hmm. And I remember just crying and crying. And I remember my dad looking back.
He did.
To kind of
make sure this guy wasn't doing anything to his daughter.
Yeah, then you started, I think you started praying in tongues.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Because when you started that, I remember being like in a kind of like a scrunched position. I must have been on my knees. And I remember just one hand up in the air. You were just grabbing it. You were holding onto it. Like I was being held up almost. Mm-hmm. Like you were holding me up.
I was.
And you didn't stop praying. I was, you didn't check on me. You just kept praying. You were just praying and holding my hand real tight. And I was like, oh my goodness. Kind of like an outer body experience, because while you're doing that, I am crying. I'm feeling this feeling uprooted. It's like I can see myself from the outside and I'm telling myself, girl, what are you doing? You have never done this before. What is happening?
And who is he?
Who is this dude? Like, what is going on? We were just trying to go to church. I think the usher helped me up.
Yes. I think she came around to make sure you were okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was like snot and everything. She gave me tissue. I know my makeup was all smeared. I was just like, what have I just done? I felt kind of relieved. I felt lighter, embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I was embarrassed. And I just felt like that was just totally unexpected.
Well, I felt like I was just helping someone. You know, you told me that you didn't want bitterness to settle in after a divorce. And I did say, I understand, because I've been down that road.
Yeah, I didn't know that at the time.
No.
It was that first look that you gave me, I understand. And then you grabbed my hand and went in. You know what I mean?
I went in.
And I was just like, man, that was deep. So now I'm trying to compose myself. Mm-hmm. I think my dress is all wrinkled. I don't know what was happening.
But you say compose yourself, but you only had one hand to do that.
Yeah.
Because we were still holding hands.
Yeah. And I didn't even notice that until we're sitting down. And for some reason, the sound system went back up.
The sound system went back up. We were still holding hands. And then we were like, wow, we're still holding hands with this other person.
Yeah, I didn't realize until I think it was like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Because I'm still kind of like, what just happened? Just remember, I'm hearing the pastor. I'm hoping my dad doesn't cause a scene. You know, or something like, we getting out of here. So I don't know what. Yeah. And I was just like, and then I look over, oh my gosh, I am still holding this man's hand. I never let go. And I felt so awkward. I didn't feel bad. I felt awkward.
Well, I felt like it was nice after a while. At first, I didn't really think about it. But
why didn't you let go?
I wanted to make sure that you wouldn't fall when you stood up. That's one reason. But yeah. But it wasn't that I didn't want to let go. I was holding your hand. I guess I couldn't let go. For some reason, I couldn't let go.
Yeah.
I didn't let go either. That might sound weird, but I couldn't let go.
It was almost like there was this force or...
That's the word I was about to use.
Yeah. That was like between us that we didn't have control over. And it just was connecting us.
It did connect us.
And so now we're connected.
So when people say that they want connections, now I understand that.
Well, yeah, I didn't understand it at that level.
I've never heard anybody say a story like this or, you know, they meet people and they're like, oh, our eyes met and, you know, but we had not just a physical experience, but it was spiritual.
Yeah, it was something different. I remember fast forward, I was telling my girlfriends, I don't know what that was. I've never experienced that. And I didn't know if I was tripping because I had gotten a divorce. I didn't know. It's like, is this what happens when you get a divorce? You just start having these power connections with people or some strange encounters.
Anyway, well, you might have strange encounters with people, but not spiritual connections.
Yeah. I remember feeling like I don't know how to let go of this man's hand. And I just felt like I was like,
I think we just let the pressure.
Slid it. Yeah.
Well, we let the pressure just relieve from both of our hands.
Yeah. It's like,
and then we just.
I do remember how comforting your hands were. I had never held a hand like that because, you know, you hold people's hands. Or I held people's hand at church. Yeah. I'm a hand holder.
Yeah, all the time at church you do that.
But I never, ever felt a hand like that. I didn't. It was like strong. It was comforting. It was manly, but not harsh. It was very, very comforting. I guess that's the word.
Well, that is the word. That's the word that I was going to use, is that it felt like a comforting experience because I felt comforting and I was comforting someone during their time of need, which was you. And I felt like you really needed whatever had to come out because you were in a transition period, I believe.
We let our hands go. And we are just sitting there now. Now I'm trying to get into the word. And now church is over.
Well, when it was over, this is when I asked you to, if I could give you a call. I wasn't trying to be creepy or weird or anything like that. But I said, you know, can I give you a call just to make sure that you're okay? Because I wanted to make sure you were all right. Because all that was intense.
And what did I say?
And you said, yeah, well, you said yes. I think you said yes. What did you say?
I said.
I don't remember that part.
Well, but I got your number. At first, this guy that I've just held hands with is asking me for my number. And I said, well, I'll give you.
You gave him your business card. I thought that was interesting. I was like, she gave me her business card.
Like, I don't know if I'm ready for talking with the praying man that made me cry. So I gave you my business card and I said, you know, maybe Monday. I needed a little time. Sunday was regrouping.
Yeah.
And you said, what's a good time? And I said, you know, I had been married and then I was divorced. I wasn't dating. I didn't know even how to respond to people. Because who asks you, when can I call you? People who, you know.
People who are interested in you.
Right. So you asked me what time to call. I said, oh my goodness, I don't, 8 o'clock.
And I called you at 8 o'clock on the dot with 0000.
I said, this brother called me at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And. You're like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? You know, I did feel like it was genuine.
It was genuine. I didn't have any kind of ulterior motive. I wasn't trying to get anything or take anything from you.
Well, I couldn't remember how you looked either. All I knew is that you were a black man.
Well, you had your eyes closed.
Not the whole time.
For most of the time. I mean, but plus, you went through a little experience and it was emotional. It was spiritual. It was, you know, physical. you just had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And you were thinking about, I'm sure you had things that came up because of the past and stuff like that. So
yeah,
there was a lot of things going on in your head. So you had to sit down, just recoup.
Yeah.
From that situation.
And then after the whole situation, you know, my dad was asking me like, what was that? What was going on?
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, I'm trying to explain to him. And I said, I don't know how this happened. And he's like, who is that guy? Do you know him? And I was like, no, I never seen him before. I have never even seen him at church. I have never seen this man. I don't know who he is. And then he was like, does he know you? And I was like, what's the difference?
You know what's funny? I felt so confident and I felt so relaxed talking to your father. Like, it didn't feel like any big deal.
Yeah. When you first called and we started talking, I remember after that conversation, I was just like, it is like, I know this man.
Yeah.
And not that I know him. It's like my dad said, well, does he know you?
Yeah, exactly.
I felt like we were getting to know each other. But we already knew each other.
That's correct.
It was like our spirits already knew each other and was waiting for us to catch up.
That's correct. Yes.
And that kind of goes into what we were talking about, what's holding us back.
The one thing that was interesting to me about your prayer is that you were asking about something that potentially could have stopped you from having a great relationship.
The bitterness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I had seen that in, you know, older women, family members, mm-hmm. coworkers, friends. Bitterness, it distorted people, like physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, I had never met a bitter woman who had a relationship.
How can you be bitter and have a healthy relationship?
The bitterness that I saw had blocked feelings of love for men. It blocked feelings of love for women, like humankind. Like, it was so deep that not only am I mad that somebody broke my heart, I am mad at the world. I am mad at everything.
You're mad at your job when you go to work.
I'm mad at myself. And that almost seemed like, can we say the H word? Seemed like a hell. You know, bitterness was like a personal hell that you were trapped in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're trying to live your life and you want to have fun. And even though I had gotten a divorce, I still wanted to have fun. You know, there was a lot of life. I felt like I was in my 30s when I got divorced. I can't live the rest of my life in bitterness. I have a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
Fun things to experience. Just for me, that seemed to be the number one thing. And your prayer that day must have gotten the root of it.
It seems like it did, because we're here today.
Yeah.
Bitterness is huge.
Because bitterness is like tied into anger as well.
Yes.
And what it can lead to is like toxic, negative behaviors. It can create a hostile and unloving environment around you.
Not just around you, but in you. A bitter, nasty environment in your family, at your job, everywhere that you go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be an angry person.
Well, the interesting thing is, when I was looking up bitterness, anger was a part of it. Unforgiveness was a part of it. Mm-hmm. Not being able to move on, holding on to like what you call the anchors and past hurts. Mm-hmm. There was like so many things. The definition was explaining that it can cloud a person's ability to see good in others.
Wow.
So that is a major blocker. If you can't even see the good in people, you will never find the one. You know, you just, how could you? The anger, the emotions.
I would say that anger would blind your mind. It will blind your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you see through your mind. You don't see actually with your eyes.
Yeah.
According to research. So if you see with your mind and anger blinds your mind.
Unforgiveness.
In unforgiveness, you know, you are not going to be able to see your true love. You're not going to be able to see the happiness that you should have.
And a lot of people will say, well, you know, there's no good men out there, or there's no good women out there.
But if you are an angry person, you can't even see them.
You can't. And they are everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Guys, there's good people everywhere.
Good people are everywhere.
They're everywhere. You just might not be able to see them.
And the people who are the person who is right for you, you know, mm-hmm. that person is everywhere. And I say that because, is it necessarily one specific person? I don't know if it is one specific person.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that your happiness is around you. It is there.
It is there.
But it's whether you can see it or not.
That's so deep. And this is why, honey, I was like, I cannot be bitter. Mm-hmm. Because one of the other things that bitterness causes is stress, anxiety, depression, and we talked about that in the other episode.
Yes.
So I don't want to give myself that. And it can also suppress your immune system.
Wow.
So there's a lot of physical responses. Your body responds to all that negativity, that anger, energy, destructive. It's more destructive energy. From what I understand, there's some good energies.
Yes. You can tell that we had a good energy.
Yeah. But there's bad energy. Yes. And I didn't want to store bad energy within myself.
Well, energy is on a frequency. And if you are an angry person, mm-hmm. more than likely you're going to have angry experiences because you're going to be on that wavelength. You're going to be on that timeline. And usually if you're a happy person, you bring that with you.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, it's like, hey, I'm not bothered by that. Mm-hmm. It's great.
But the other thing about bitterness and anger, it can cause inflammation in our bodies. And for women specifically, having inflammation anywhere in our body is not good.
No, definitely not.
For all stages of womanhood, you know, from when we're starting off to when we're having kids to when we're going through not having kids anymore. If we're in sports, if we're whatever we're doing, it's not good for our body to have chronic pain. It's not good for our body to have, like you said, those closed blood vessels.
Yes.
We're higher risk at stroke and, you know, heart diseases, heart attacks. It can affect our sleeping.
Definitely sleep.
You know, and we need that.
You need your sleep.
And what was interesting is when I got divorced, I had bad nightmares for a while.
Yeah.
And I did not like that because I love my sleep.
Yeah, you love your sleep.
I mean, yeah, I like sleep. I like that. And so when it was being disrupted, that concerned me, you know, because it was like nightmares about my ex. And it was things that it was just like constant battling.
But some people don't realize or don't know is that you can have sweet sleep.
Yeah, that's what you told
me. I told you that. And you can actually say that over your life. That,
right.
You know, tonight I'm going to have sweet sleep.
You changed my life when you showed me that scripture that was like, God wants you to have sweet sleep or he gives that to you.
Yeah.
And you said, Akilah, you know, God is with you when you're asleep.
Yeah. it doesn't go away just because
you're
asleep.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, he is. I really understood a personal relationship with God while I was awake.
Yeah.
I really understood that and I enjoyed it just to know that he's still with me when I'm asleep.
That's a big thing to know that you're actually protected in your sleep. You don't have to feel discomfort while you are at rest.
Yeah.
Because some people are not at rest while they are sleeping.
Yeah.
And it should be peaceful.
So weigh in on this topic here on the podcast or on YouTube. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And you can always join us and connect with us at Remarried Love.
So we just want you guys to know that you are valued and appreciated no matter what you have gone through. We are excited that you have joined us on this episode, and we will see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.